Hello and welcome to Diary of a Common Man. This is episode 21. Last week, we began our discussion on the financial aspect of Aga Khani system. This week, we will look at under how many pretexts money changes hands in the system. But before that, as usual, let's do some housekeeping. As you know, we have been off air for a couple of weeks. During this time, I have been completely overwhelmed by your concern for my life. Now, I cannot find words how to thank you, but I'll just say thank you. I appreciate. You have become a part of my life. Now, let's briefly understand as to why we were off air. Apparently, we are receiving legal notices for copyright infringement for pictures. Pictures that are freely available on the net. I will leave it up to my viewer to work this out. In other words, someone wants to make sure our job is made as difficult as possible, and I say to them, bring it on. As you know, I started this campaign about 5 months ago, and you also know that I was outcasted not only by the community but my friends and by my own family. All this for speaking the truth. But importantly, I received support from thousands like yourself across the globe. And I know that there are many, many, many others who cannot support me or cannot even contact me because of this fear of this organization. And not only that, fear of a culture of intimidation and fear mongering. So it was no wonder that my own people in Sydney did not support me. But this is the good news I wanted to share with you today. Finally, people from Sydney Jamaat Khana are beginning to approach me and expressing their support for my cause, obviously under a strict condition of anonymity, which is guaranteed as far as I'm concerned. Yes, Sydney people have started to approach me and expressing their support. So I say to you, thank you. But apart from thanking you, I also want to congratulate you for proving it to me that you are not a mouse. And not only that, I want to congratulate you for proving to yourself that you have a conscience, a divine gift. Preserve it. Not everybody gets this. It is this gift that will see you through across different lives. But remember, you have a long way to go, and I do too, on this spiritual journey. But at this point in time, I want you to become the lion that you are. You have proved to me that you are not a mouse, but you will have to behave like a lion one day, and I hope that that day will come sooner rather than later. Finally, we have a name for our non-profit organization, Wake Up Call Incorporation. This incorporation is registered in Georgia in United States. I know you have been waiting a long, long time to donate. So finally, here are the bank details. Now, if you're going to wire the money, please email us for wiring instructions on this email. For last 5 months that you have expressed your appreciation for my work, now is the time to show your solidarity. Please make a difference by either contributing financially or giving your time or both. It is possible you may be able to claim a tax deduction in your country, so please speak to your accountant. Let us now return to episode 21. In 1908, few relatives of 48th Imam Sultan Muhammad Shah filed a case against him in Bombay High Court. To understand the background, we will need to go back to Aga Khan I. We discussed earlier that Aga Khan I was an Iranian fugitive, but later he joined hands with the British, and for this betrayal of the Muslims, he received a pension, and later he accumulated wealth and some property from religious dues from the Murids in India. These assets had been passed down to his son Aga Khan II, Aka Ali Shah, and then when Aka Ali Shah passed on, he passed on the assets to Aga Khan III, Sultan Muhammad Shah. Now the relatives who filed the case were led by Haji Bibi. Haji Bibi was a widowed granddaughter of Aga Khan I. Now relatives were apparently not happy with Sultan Muhammad Shah, because he was not sharing the wealth and assets of Aga Khan I and the religious offerings from the Murid. Now, goes without saying, Sultan Muhammad Shah won the case. Justice Russell ruled that he had exclusive rights to the assets of his grandfather and to the continuous religious offerings of his followers. Justice found that the religious offerings were made by his murids for his use as he sees fit. And this is important to repeat. The law, the justice, found that the religious offerings made by the murids were for the Imam to use as he sees fit. Haji Bibi losing the case was no surprise to many people. After all, Sultan Muhammad Shah was a British agent. And reason why this case is so important to understand is it demonstrates how Aga Khani system denies the concept of charity in Islam. In other words, the Imam can spend the money as he sees fit, which may not be as per the Quran, the holy message. When I was an Aga Khani Murid, I remember vividly asking a scholar, why do we have to pay money at every step in the Jamaat Khana? Goes without saying, that question was not appreciated. In any case, his response was, Salim, all religions take money from their followers. And actually he was right. No organization, religious or not, cannot survive without funding. But the question is, does Aga Khani financial system receive and spend the money as per the holy mandate? Does Aga Khani system provide accountability and transparency? Do other religions receive as much money as Aga Khan receives under so many different pretexts? So, we will discuss, find the answers to these questions in a minute as to what happens in an Aga Khani system. But at this point in time, what we will do is to compare, to look at how other religions handle money, the religious money. And then we will come back to Aga Khan's system, and then we will see the massive contrast in handling of the religious money. So let's start with the Christians. Every time I've been to a church, I have seen a donation box on the way out where we put a coin or two and move on. But I'm told that about 5% of practicing Christians pay 10% of their income as tithe. This money is then used for charitable purposes apart from meeting church expenses. And most importantly, the religious dues, the money, does not belong to an individual. It goes to the parish, and the bishop of that parish must issue a financial disclosure. In other words, he is required to be accountable and transparent. That is Christians. With Muslims, zakat is the main form of charity in Islam, and it is one of the five pillars as well. This money is used for charitable purposes apart from meeting mosque expenses. And most importantly, the religious dues do not belong to an individual. Not only that, the mosque is required to be transparent and provide accountability. Let's come to Hinduism. When you visit a Hindu temple, you will find a donation box. You drop a few coins and move on. It is true that people pay the priest to conduct different religious services, but these amounts are given to support a very modest lifestyle of the priest. Apart from that, Hinduism also has a concept of charity called dan or donation. This dan is made either to the temple or it is given to the poor and the needy, and like all other organizations, all other religious organizations, they are required to provide accountability and transparency as well. So, let us summarize. Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, the money is not owned by an individual. Money is spent via a registered charity that is required to be transparent. So, how does Aga Khan cult handle the money? Before we begin, let me give you a rundown on what the Aga Khan murid will tell you about how the money is used by Aga Khan. Firstly, they will tell you, Aga Khan runs schools, hospitals and other charitable work across the world. He runs Aga Khan Development Network, a privately owned humanitarian network. And for this amazing contribution, Aga Khan is respected across the globe and they are very proud to be his murids. That is basically what an Aga Khani will tell you. But today, we are going to take a reality check and put these claims under a microscope. To do that, firstly, let's go inside the Jamaat Khana once again and understand how money changes hands. Aga Khan Jamaat Khana is open 365 days a year, twice a day, for the practice of spirituality. But for some funny reason, money becomes a significant part of this spiritual practice. Aga Khan's system has created multiple situations where people pay money. Dasond, rituals, membership fees, food auctions, jewelry auctions, fundraisings for so many different things, life insurance policies and so on. We will now put each category under a microscope and see how does it all work. Dasond. Its literal meaning may be 1/10 or 10%, but in practice, it is a mandatory payment of 12.5% of murid's after-tax income that must be paid to Aga Khan. Whether you are rich or poor, whether you roll in luxury or struggling to make ends meet, you must pay 12.5% of your income. Now, no one breathes over your shoulders to collect the revenue. It is not required. Indoctrination of murids, childhood indoctrination of murids, is good enough to make sure that the murid pays the money himself. And the tradition passes on from father to son, and it has been that way for a long, long time. Many people ask, if dasoon means 10%, why do we have to pay 12.5%? Because the extra 2.5% is peer's share. Let me explain. My viewer will remember that peer, they were missionaries in medieval times, and they were engaged by imams to propagate faith. And this propagation activity involved financial cost. So imam taxed the murids to meet this cost. Now, how much money was paid to the peer in those days, nobody knows, but imam, the Aga Khan, has set it at 2.5% of murids' income. Question many murids ask is, today there are no peers. Today there is no propagation activity. So why does Aga Khan want an extra 2.5%? This question unfortunately goes in the stupid questions basket, because they will not answer this question. Maybe there is none. Now, what you must understand, Aga Khan has decided it is going to be 2.5% because he is a peer. Yes, I know, I haven't made a mistake. I did say he is a peer. This is the beauty of Aga Khani system. The imam can become anything at any time. He can become Mawla Ali to become a Shia imam. Then he morphs into a Hindu god Vishnu, and with a wave of a wand, he becomes Allah. But this time he is a peer. So to conclude, 2.5% is peer's share, which goes to Aga Khan as well. Now, the marketing of the dasoon, look, it is the biggest revenue earner for the system, dasoon. So it must be marketed properly, just like a product. And there are many tools that are used to market dasoon and that kind of stuff. But there are two main tools. One is a vias and second is ginans. Now, there are many vias available on the net, and one of my favorite is the monkey vias. This is the link. You can listen to that vias. In this vias, the missionary suggests that whoever doesn't pay the dasoon to the imam is worse than a monkey. Now, if you want proof that you are worse than a monkey, then please listen to this vias. But what I'll do is I'll give you a gist of that vias. In India, there are two fruits. One fruit is called Sitafal, which is an apple custard. And the second is a Ramphal, which is actually a bullock's heart. Now, they both belong to the same family with similar taste, but outward texture of both the fruits are different, in the sense that Sitafal is a little bit green and bumpy on the surface, whereas Ramphal has a smoother surface with a little reddish tinge. Now, these two fruits are named after Hindu god Ram and his wife Sita. Now, the missionary says, give a monkey, even today, give a monkey Sitafal and he will eat it, he will love it, right? But try giving it Ramphal. He will never eat Ramphal. Why? Doesn't matter how hungry the monkey is, he will not touch Ramphal. Why? Let's look at it. The legend goes that Lord Ram was incarnation of God on earth. One of his devoted servants was a monkey called Hanuman. Now, Lord Rama likes this fruit called Ramphal. So, Hanuman forbids himself from eating that fruit. The missionary is suggesting that because Ramphal is God's fruit, God's due, hence the monkeys even today will not eat it. Moral of this story is Dasond is God's due. Sorry, Aga Khan's due. Now, if a monkey doesn't eat God's due and you do, aren't you worse than a monkey? Apart from such amazing religious discourses, Dasond is also marketed via Ginans. Let's look at an example. Eji dharam no bhed, Dasond kahiye ji. Eji dharam no bhed, Dasond kahiye ji, Dasond vina parna leye. Which means, only Dasond reveals the inner mysteries of the religion. Without the payment of Dasond, one cannot achieve salvation. There is another one. Mahe varse amrat noor ke. Mahe varse amrat noor ke chit mahe chori ma karjo. Dasond aljo jire. Which means, divine light will descend upon you if you do not think about stealing and submit the Dasond. That is Dasond. Then you have many rituals where you pay your money to your Lord. Let's start with Dua Karavi. We've spoken about it before briefly. Dua Karavi is a forgiveness of sin ritual. You will pay to the Mukhi and you will basically declare yourself a sinner and seek Aga Khan's forgiveness of your sins. Then you basically do that again when you take a chata, again the forgiveness of the sins, money to the Mukhi, praying to Aga Khan that I am a sinner and may he forgive you your sins. Look, chata, as you know, there are three different varieties. One is if you are too much of a sinner and you want your sins forgiven, you need to take what is called a guna bakshamni chata. Give the money, your guna forgiven. Then if you have difficulty in achieving spiritual enlightenment, give some money to the Mukhi and pray, and he will pray to Aga Khan, and Aga Khan will basically make you see the light. Then there is a Mahadan kind of a chata. Mahadan means day of judgment. So when you are on your deathbed, you can't die without giving money. Okay. So this much you must understand. So if you give money and take a chata, the prayer is that you will go to heaven once you leave your body. Abhishafa is actually holy water. People put money in a plate, cup of the holy water, obviously blessed by who you know who, comes holy, and then you drink it with absolute conviction. Mehmani literally means hosting a guest. In Ismaili terminology, mehmani means hosting the imam. Now, because imam cannot come to everybody's house, he has been so merciful in accepting money as in lieu of becoming a guest. Now, the amount you pay as mehmani is usually determined by the murid, but when I left the system back in 2014, fixed price mehmanis were making their way in. There was even a price list, and on the price list there was no discount. If the discount system has come in end of the year financial sale, I don't know in 2021. I'm talking about 2014. Awwal Sufro. Awwal means first and Sufro means the food offering. And this food offering is brought by the entire congregation. So if a Jamaat Khana has 10,000 people, you will see many thousand plates, food items, thousands. And this food, the collective food, is auctioned and the highest bidder gets the blessings. My viewer can be forgiven for thinking that this auction goes for a few dollars. $50,000 for one such auction is commonplace in America. But during Imam's recent jubilee in Portugal, the successful bid was $1 million. The successful bidder doesn't get to take all the food home, which is brought by the entire congregation. He only gets the blessings and a chance to show how wealthy he is, because he gets to stand up in front of the whole congregation and then walk to the Mukhi Sahib and give him a token money and then pay the cash later. Once this auction concludes, the food is individually auctioned again. Remember, they took the money in the first auction. They had auctioned the entire collection of the food items. Now they will auction the food individually. Double dipping? Basically, apart from the money changing hands, as we just discussed, during daily Jamaat Khana ceremonies, there are various majalises, which are religious meetings for a murid to participate in. They say there are 15 such meetings for murids to participate if they can afford to pay a fee, most of which require you to pay in thousands of dollars, that is. But here is the most amazing part. All the rituals for which you have already paid during the Jamaat Khana ceremonies, you will now pay during these meetings all over again. So, to make it clear, whatever the Jamaat Khana takings were, multiplied by 15 times. Bol means, literally means a word, a holy word in Ismaili terminology. By meditating upon this word, it is believed you will go to heaven. Now, who do you think has this holy word? Aga Khan. Who do you think wants that holy word? Murid. Do you think Aga Khan will give it to them for free? No. This concludes under how many pretexts money changes hands in Jamaat Khana. Obviously, I have not covered all of them. There are many other situations where money is collected. But next week, we will learn how much money does this mean in dollar terms, and then what happens to it once it leaves the Jamaat Khana premises. Until then, take care. Goodbye.